Welcome back to the Guide to the Surviving Middle School podcast on the How Can I podcast network. I'm the CEO and founder of How Can I, Darnell Bent. And as promised, we are releasing the full conversation with Principal Lewis from MS-935 in his first graduating class of 2024. This is a conversation that was recorded at the end of the 2024 school year when the students produced the Guide to Surviving Middle School podcast. Make sure that you subscribe to the podcast and share with everybody you know. We hope you enjoy the show, and we hope you enjoy the conversation.
My name is Mariah Walker, but I prefer to be called Raya. Today, we're here with Principal Lewis.
My name is Justin King, and I am the second host for this podcast, and we have Mr. Lewis here, our principal.
Hey, guys, what's up?
We have a couple questions for you.
Give it to me.
Our first question is, because I know that you said you used to be a teacher, right? What was your hardest part of teaching back in the day?
Oh, man. What was the hardest part about teaching back in the day? Well, first of all, don't say back in the day like that. That's number one. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I definitely am officially unk status with my students for my first year, like 31, 32 now. Miss McCollin was one of my students in my first class. And Mr. Jordan, I think I taught Mr. Jordan like my third or fourth year teaching. So I it's come full circle that now I got former students.
What's that feel like? It coming, you got former students who are now working in your building, teaching with you now.
It's dope. It's super dope, man. Like, to have, like, I kind of raised y'all a little bit. And now to have y'all coming in and seeing through the vision with the students that I'm principal of now, I can't, you know, they might think that I'm actually nicer to y'all than I was to them at this point. I'm getting old. I'm getting a little tired. So it's like, all right, I don't got that fuss and fight that I had with them. But that, if y'all left my classroom looking the way y'all left y'all classrooms, y'all ain't going nowhere.
Okay, what was your favorite part of teaching back in the day?
My favorite part would definitely have been, you know, I was literally only like 8, 9, 10 years older than some of my students. Literally, my youngest brother was, if not a little older, like almost the same age as my kids. I was 24 when I started teaching. I was too dumb and too young to even know some of the things that I was doing or whatever. But, like, I had a great rapport with my students, especially the boys. Like, till this day, they still reach out. One of them just hit me up the other day. He was like, Mr. Lou, when we gonna hang out? I'm like, I guess you are old enough. It is. You're 31. Today's your birthday. You're 31. I'm like, all right, I guess I could hang out with you. But I had a real good rapport with the kids. It was different than it is with y'all. Y'all, like you just said, I'm like unk now, but it was like the big bro back then. The hardest part about teaching when I started teaching was learning the curriculum. Learning how to teach and learning the curriculum was tough. It wasn't tough, but it was definitely the most complicated part. Especially when you're good at something, it's hard to teach it. So I was a good math student, but to teach math was not very easy because I walked in expecting the kids to know what I knew or to know what they should have known. And it's real easy to teach kids that were there. Now, I'm not pointing at Adrian. I'm just saying that were where they needed to be versus teaching kids that needed a little bit more push. And I'm just like, you know, I could motivate them, but it was very hard for me to, like, if you didn't understand something, it was hard for me to understand why you didn't understand. So,
how did you overcome that? Like, how did you become to learn to I guess be more empathetic?
Talking to them and just being like, yo, listen, I don't get it. You don't get it. Well, what's the problem? I'm like, all right, well, I have two stories. One young lady, I won't name names because, you know, whatever. But I had a young lady. She was mad. She was a good kid, but she kept failing a test. And one day she just like kind of broke down. I was like, yo, Mr. Lewis, if I had more time, I'm telling you, I'll pass. So I'm like, so you saying, like, she's like, I feel rushed. I feel this. I feel that. So I'm like, yo, are you just saying that to say it? Or do you really, if I gave you 15 more, if I stayed and let you take this test during lunch, will you take it serious? And she was like, yeah. And sure enough, she did a lot better. So I helped her and her mother get her a 504 for the state exams that year, and she had unlimited time to take the test. So now y'all have unlimited time automatically. Back then, they only had, I think, 90 minutes to like an hour and 45 minutes, 2 hours to take the test. So she got unlimited time, and she went from a level one to a level three. So it was, you know, listening to your students is never the worst thing in the world, because I know what I need better than anybody else, and y'all know what y'all need better than anybody else. So really, just getting to connect and talk to them.
What do y'all, before we go on, what do y'all think about that? How do y'all feel if y'all only had an hour and a half to take the test?
I'm cooked.
You feel me? So we see how people prior to y'all have went through certain challenges, and their hardships have now led to why we could do things the way we do it now.
You know, this is one of those reasons why I don't understand why y'all, even people opt out of taking the test. Because I'm like, yo, y'all got all day. Literally, you can sit here from 9 o'clock till 3:30 and do the test. Like, you can't lose. You can only benefit from it. And at the end of the day, even if you don't do well, at least it tells you now, like, all right, this is what I'm not good at. How do I get better? So, you know. That's just my little high horse piece.
Why did you become a teacher?
It's a very interesting story. So when I graduated college, I was all over the place with trying to find a job. I graduated with a marketing degree, and I had applied for different companies that were marketing companies. Y'all gonna get a good laugh at this, and I'm glad I didn't get this job. I applied for Blue Flame Marketing. Which is, y'all don't know who know what Blue Flame Marketing is? Y'all laughing at the name. But the reason why y'all are laughing at the name is funny on its own.
Right, right.
And then when I tell you whose company it is, y'all gonna really laugh. That was Diddy's marketing company.
I saw it coming. I'm like, yo, I'm waiting for that because I was waiting for them to.
So needless to say, if there was ever
a lot of still shot.
So that didn't work out. I didn't get a job in marketing. I came back. My mom was doing some work with a random woman who did event planning in the neighborhood. And she eventually got me a job with like this real estate, not-for-profit real estate organization in the neighborhood. They played me out. They was just like, oh, you know, you never asked us for the job, so we don't know if you want the job. So I'm like, well, why would I have to ask you for the job? And I'm sitting here doing it for 6 months. And then come to find out her nephew graduated and he needed a job, and she gave him mine. Nepotism at its finest. So walked out of there. My mother called my mom, like, your mom broke again. I ain't got no job. She's like, here's my recruiter. Got me a gig working at the Roosevelt Hotel in Manhattan. I started off as a temp in HR. And then they loved me. It was the complete opposite. They loved me so much at the hotel. They was like, dude, you put out the job postings every week. Pick whatever job you want. Your HR job is going to end because it's temp. But you can have any job on here that you wanted. So with the marketing background, I said, yo, let me get this job in sales. So if you ever go to an event at a hotel and they got to like set up, like it's like a fancy wedding or a dinner. So all I did is my job is draw the diagram of where the seats would go. It was computer based. And they even looked at me like I was crazy. Like, oh, I don't know if you can handle that. I'm like, yo, it's drag and drop. Click, table, chair, stage, lights. Click, 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 click. This is not hard work. So it was also, I realized, like, yo, I was the only man of color. It was like two other dudes of color in the sales department. Everybody I hung out with was the porters, security, they were the bus boys, but they was mad cool. I was like, I can't sit in here and not be able to go any higher. But also at the time, my mother ran a not-for-profit out of our church where we tutored kids every Saturday. And I was going to work every day having the time of my life. I'm wearing the flyest suits. I know y'all don't see me in suits like that no more, but that's because I was super fly back then. I don't got nothing left to prove. I got nothing left to prove.
Somebody
said
super fly is crazy.
Not super fly, like 70. Be quiet, man. But you know what I mean. But I was working in Midtown Manhattan. I'm getting on the train every day. I'm going to like these lavish dinners and parties. I wasn't making no money, but I looked like I was. And I had a great time doing it, but I was more motivated to get up and go tutor the kids on Saturdays for free. So a dude at the hotel, his wife basically made him apply for this program called the Teaching Fellows. And he came to me, he was like, yo, Jermaine, don't you tutor kids on the weekend? I'm like, yeah. He was like, well, listen, I'm doing this program. I need you to help me with my essay. I think I might have actually did his essay for him. Mind your business. He asked me to help him, right? And I had zero interest in applying for the program. So I'm like, yo, I got you, bro. Like, I know a little tidbit of stuff here and there. So I did it. I helped him with it. I ain't do it for him, but I did help him with it. And he was like, you should apply. So I'm like, well, when is the deadline? He said, it's this Friday. I helped him on Monday. I'm like, yo, I'm going to do it. I promise you. Monday after work, I hung out with my friends. Tuesday after work, I hung out with my coworkers. Wednesday after work, I hung back out with my other friends. I totally forgot all about. By the time the deadline hit, I completely forgot. And that next Monday when we came back to work, he was like, yo, did you do the application? I'm like, oops. Nope. Oops. Totally forgot about it. So I went online later on that week, like, all right, let me see when the application opens up next year, and I'll make sure that I'm on time next year. It just so happens they extended the deadline for that current year for another 2 or 3 weeks. So I ended up applying. I got in. He didn't. And the rest is maybe since it was my essay, I had to take a little bit more. I put a little bit more work into it. So it was something that I kind of fell into, but it was also something that I kind of had already been doing. You know, I ran a summer camp for my mother's program one summer when I was like a sophomore, junior in college. I did summer camp stuff growing up, mentoring and all that. So it wasn't hard for me. It was hard for me to accept, like, yo, maybe this is just what I'm meant to do. And when it felt, once I saw that they extended the application, I'm like, yo, this is a sign, bro. Just go ahead and do this application. And it was the best decision of my life. I love what I do. So.
Question: why was it hard to accept that it was your calling at first?
Because it's not glamorous. Teaching is not something where I ain't never seen too many teachers driving big body Benzes and, you know, dressed all fly. Not when I was growing up. Right. You know what I'm saying? My teachers all look like they, you know, just came off the pulpit from church. Everybody dressed all, you know, suit and tie, and they're very homely and it's very serious. It didn't look like a fun job. And, you know, not for nothing, y'all kind of crazy at times. You know what I'm saying? Who want to work with that? But so it was hard to, and it wasn't glamorous. It wasn't like, you know, unfortunately, you'll never hear somebody talking about teachers on Oprah unless they trying to feel bad for them and give them extra money. You know, you don't hear no celebrities. Like, you never heard of no, yo, who's the top 10 teachers of all time, son? You never heard that. You never heard that before, right? So it wasn't good. And remember, I told you, I was 24. It was the right thing in the right time. And a little side note, a little side caveat, not to dampen the mood, but my grandmother, my great-grandmother raised my mom because my mom was 6 months old when her mother passed away. And my mother is like an educator. She worked in a community, a CBO for about 10 years. My great-grandmother, she raised a whole bunch of kids from the neighborhood in the church, you know, babysitting them as a child. So, you know, they were community people. They were educators in their own right. And the first week of the Teaching Fellows program, my grandmother passed away. And so it was, that was one I said, I made two promises to her that day. I said, I'm going to take care of Uncle Alfred, which was her brother, and I'm going to make sure I get these kids right. And so that was my motivation to keep going through, you know.
if you weren't to be a teacher, what would you be, and other than trying to work for Diddy?
If you asked me this question 5 or 10 years ago, it would be I wanted to be an ESPN, like sports broadcaster, sports announcer, like that. That I love sports. Anybody, I love arguing with my boys about sports. Like I could do that all day long. Like Stephen A. Smith, I would have fire for Stephen A. Smith. You couldn't do nothing. Shannon Sharp, Uncle Shay Shay, I'm coming for your head, bro. I'm taking over. I'm coming for Uncle Shay Shay. That's how much I love me some sports. But now though, I kind of like this. I would love to do this. Maybe with sports, with education, something like that. Cause I'm gonna talk you to death anyway. So give me a mic. Forget about it. I'm gonna enjoy it. You know, and give me a good topic to talk about.
That's how I felt too, ironically, just before y'all go on, because prior to me starting How Can I, graduated with a degree in communications from Albany, and I was trying to pursue a career in sports broadcast. Podcasting was a thing in my generation now, so I was able to just start a podcast real quick, go work for this company, work for that company. But it's very ironic and full circle now. My dad also grew up in education. He was a guidance counselor before he passed away, so I grew up in education myself. So it's very ironic now, coming from a Jamaican background, they always telling us to go be a teacher, and I was trying to avoid it as much as possible. It's just mad ironic now that I'm podcasting, doing broadcast media type stuff with students through education. So as you say that, I'm like, yeah, I'm surprised, but yeah, I'm trying to be here though. Like I like doing it from this angle with y'all. Like I'd rather produce something with y'all than adults most times.
Yo, listen, man. One of the things, and this is why I kind of do, you know, not to get off topic, but it goes with what you just said. One of the reasons why this room even exists is because there's different things that I know people who have made a career out of that's not traditional. I bought those turntables because my man Jarrell, DJ CEO, we were in sixth grade. We both stayed at PS11 back then.
You said PS11?
Yeah.
I went to PS11 too.
Get out of here.
Waverly or Waverly?
Yeah.
Nah, that's crazy. I never knew that.
I went to PS11, then Philippa Scholar, then Brooklyn Tech, and Morgan State.
You went to Brooklyn Tech.
Yeah, what year you graduated?
2013.
That was a long time. I was 1999. Yeah. But somebody else I know, we'll talk about that after, but I think somebody else I know just graduated. Well, not just graduated, graduated in 2013. But that's another lesson. It's a small world. And one of the things y'all gotta always know is that these types of connections, we just bonded on another level by saying two letters and two numbers, PS11. These connections will take y'all to places that, you know, y'all may not know.
Can't even imagine right now.
You couldn't even imagine. And I just said it just trying to memorize.
Right. I knew you for a couple of years, and I never had no idea we went to the same elementary school. That's crazy.
I was here. Probably, I know I was there long before you were. Long, long time before you were. But, you know, it's the same school.
Nah.
But,
You said DJ CEO, your man, that's who you met at PS11.
Yeah. We were in band class together. Jarrell played the trombone. No, Mark played the trombone. I played the saxophone. And I think Jarrell played like the French horn or something like that. Some big, stupid looking, like, dude, that's not cool. The saxophone is cool. The two of them took their love of music and have used it to travel the world. Jarrell DJed at the Garden for the Knicks playoff game earlier this summer. He was on DJ the morning show on Pix 11. He's DJed for Fat Joe, for mad different people around the world. And Mark is a world-renowned trombone player. He's traveled with, like, the greats, Wynton Marsalis and all of these famous people. If you Google Mark Williams right now, you're going to get a trombone. It's, again, when we were 10, 11, it was a weird-looking instrument, both of them. But he's made a living. He's famous. Wynton Marsalis was the jazz musician. The most popular one that I know of that he's played with. But, yeah, it's so I say all that to say, like, y'all might pick this up in this podcasting thing and run with it, and y'all will be the next great podcaster in the world. Or you might want to be a DJ, or you might want to design and print your own, you know, t-shirts and logos and all of that. 3D printing is going to be a wave sooner or later. I wanted you guys to be able to leave here knowing that, like, yo, you got a talent that you can make money off of now. Not when you graduate from college. You can start a podcast now. You could DJ local parties now. You can film stuff and be a photographer now. You know what I mean? I want y'all to that was my whole premise. Y'all develop these skills that will take y'all someplace, and maybe you'll have some fun in the process.
What advice would you give an incoming student?
An incoming sixth grader or incoming or somebody new to the school? Like an eighth grader coming in the middle of the year, disrupting all of the flow that we already have. Well, when I met Mariah, I ain't gonna lie, I was like, yo, what am I getting myself into? She was looking crazy. Grandma was going in downstairs. And I was just like, oh, Lord, this one is about to be a doozy, right? Could not have been more happy to be more wrong. I have been so wrong about that. Grandma is like, we all love Grandma. We kind of like Mariah a little bit. You didn't. Mariah, no, real talk, Mariah's been great. But my first thing, and you may not remember this, I said, yo, I know people come here from other schools and it's like, yo, we got to fight, we got to do this, I got to show and prove. I said, yo, you could be a kid here. And if you be a kid, you're going to get the best experience possible. And I think you've done probably the best job of like acclimating yourself, because you came in, what, January, February?
January.
Yeah, so the know that. Yeah, she came on in and she eased right in. So my advice to anybody that comes in, especially after sixth grade or after the middle of the school year, just come here, do what you got to do. Don't buck the culture. Like, you're going to love it here. You just got to go with the flow. Leilani, you weren't here from seven. You came in the beginning of this year, but you weren't here in sixth and seventh grade. How's your experience?
It's pretty good. I mean, I have a lot of friends here. It's really fun.
Yeah, I was here, like, literally, like, at the beginning of the school year. I didn't know much people because, like, I was shy to talk to, like, anyone. But then, like, if you find the right group of people, because I know the first person I talked to was, I think, Ariani. And then after that, it was Talissa. And then I met a whole bunch of other people. And then from those people, I started meeting other people.
That's good to speak about, because when I work with fifth graders a lot, their biggest concern about middle school is how they gonna make friends. Yeah. And which is why we had that whole episode about friendship, because it's like, y'all talking about it so easy now, but think about it. You came in with, 13, so you're a little bit more confident by then. But when you walk into sixth grade, it's not so simple to just walk up to somebody and be like, hey, be my friend. So, Ms. Lewis, when you get a chance, talk to that a little bit. Like, what about for the sixth graders? So the people coming in for sixth grade, what would you say differently?
So the sixth graders, I would say, I'm not trying to just jump the gun and say anything. The sixth graders, I would say, it might be a little bit more different. I think they come in, they've been in fifth grade, they spent their whole time in one class with one teacher for the whole year. They've probably been with the same kids forever. And a lot of our kids do come from, like, the same three schools, 108, 65, and PS7. So a lot of them have familiarity with each other. My challenge for the sixth graders would be, number one, take it slow. Observe the scenery. See what's going on. See what the eighth graders are doing right and wrong. Not be overly concerned with being popular. Not be overly concerned with making friends, because you have them, you know. One thing I'm learning, my son is in the third grade. He just turned 9. And I'm seeing a lot of parallels between him and the sixth graders. And, like, his development. Like, you know, they, of course, a little bit more mature and all that. But he's concerned about friends. And he's concerned. I'm like, dude, you're cool. You're a cool kid, yo. People are going to gravitate towards you regardless. And the people that you want to gravitate towards you are the people that are going to accept you for who you are. Mm-hmm. So don't really be worried about, you know, who likes you and who don't and all that stuff. And you know what? And this will be the exact same advice I will give you guys going into the ninth grade for high school. Like, this has been a safe haven for you guys for 3 years. Even when y'all had problems, we help fix it. It's not going to be that simple next year when y'all go to high school. You know what I mean? And then there's going to be a lot of temptation to do different things, and people are going to try to get y'all to do stuff that is going to be out of your character.
People
and
don't want to start fighting for any
little thing. And that's for y'all to figure out how to get in those circles or stay away from those circles. You understand? People are people. People might want to fight y'all and get y'all in trouble and do all that stuff. But it's also which people you stay around, right? I won't name any names, but there's certain kids in here. Y'all know if I hung out with them, it might be a little problem. And there's other kids that, you know, they're a lot safer to be around, right? I would tell the sixth graders the same thing I would tell y'all next year. Stay true to who you are. Associate yourself with kids that appreciate who you are and accept you for who you are. And don't do anything that jeopardizes your reputation or, like, who you are as a person.
My next question is, what has it been like building this school?
You know what? And I'm not trying to give y'all any props. I couldn't have dreamt it up any better. Part of my experience, part of the journey, was that me going to Brooklyn Tech meant a lot back then. And I know now, my cousin's wife is a guidance counselor there, and I met another dude that works there. I think he's a social studies teacher or something. And he was saying that the incoming class for next year is, I think, 8% Black and Hispanic combined. He's 8%. He said it's about 390-something incoming students that are going to be Black or Hispanic, which sounds like a lot, right? Because we only got 200 kids here. But Brooklyn Tech has almost 5,000, 6,000 kids. So imagine out of 5,000, 6,000 kids, maybe 300 are Black or Hispanic. And, you know, one of my missions and visions was to expose you guys to stuff that was in the STEM world to get you guys to get accepted to the Brooklyn Techs, to the Bronx Science, to the Stuyvesants, and the other specialized schools. And not just the specialized schools, but you had the Townsend Harris, you had the Bards, all of those different places that were going to take y'all to another level for high school. And I think my proudest moment, knowing that I put that into the opening presentation, I was going around, bro, I was doing... during COVID, doing virtual open houses, putting posters up in the schools, the stores around the neighborhood, and I made sure to put that Brooklyn Tech stamp on it because I wanted everybody to know that this is where I want them to end up. And then, again, Brooklyn Tech, yes, but the theory is that I wanted y'all to get into better places and better schools. So to see their high school acceptance letter day, I was feeling myself, bro. I was feeling myself.
And you got somebody in the class that's going to Brooklyn Tech. We interviewed him earlier today. Yeah. Oh, three of them. I didn't even know it was three of them.
Etan, Alyssa, and Shyla Haley. You know, maybe she did the program. I don't. So there was the Discovery program that allowed kids to do a little extra work to get in. So maybe she did. I just haven't spoken to her, but she might be. But I was a teacher for 6 years. None of my kids I taught got into Brooklyn Tech. None of the kids in the school got into Brooklyn Tech or any of the specialized high schools. The first school I was principal of, I was there for 4 years. None of the kids in that school got into any of the specialized high schools while I was there. So to have my first graduating class from this school get three, maybe four, I was feeling myself, bro. I was feeling myself, man, because I felt like everything that I envisioned the school to be came out. And it wasn't just the Brooklyn Techs. We got kids in the Bard, Townsend Harris. Like, we got Townsend Harris.
I know about all these schools. My dad took me on tour. Like, this is where you have to
end up. Yep. And for me, it was Brooklyn Tech or bus. I ain't gonna sit here and lie to y'all. My grades, my middle school grades weren't terrible. They definitely weren't as bad as my high school grades, but they, you know, it was a little shaky. So it was either Brooklyn Tech or Boys and Girls. And no shade on Boys and Girls. I got a lot of friends that went there, graduated from there, doing their thing. But I want to walk around the corner to my school. I want to walk. So I'm gonna get on a train. I want to go downtown. Yeah, I want to have, you know, I want to see something different. And everybody, I have family members that went to Brooklyn Tech, and it was like, you know, my family members that went to Brooklyn Tech are a lot different from my family members that went to other high schools. I just say that. And so that was always it for me. So to see these guys get into their high schools, you know, to see how so many of them have evolved, you know, just seeing it. And I can, and if I would need 5 hours, because I could tell a story about each and every 90-something eighth graders. I could tell you a story about each and every one of them from where they were to where they are. So, you know, the dream has been realized.
Yeah. I don't know if you have any more questions, but what final, like, encouraging words would you have for your first graduating class?
My first graduating class. Would it be corny and cliche to say that sky is the limit?
What? Not really.
The sky is the limit.
Exactly. What does that mean?
What does that mean? I keep forgetting that y'all born in 2000.
It basically means that you could do, like, after this, you could do whatever you want. You could graduate high school, go to college. If you don't want to go to college, you could still do whatever you want. You can do anything you want. Like, the sky's the limit.
The possibilities are endless.
Okay, Uncle Justin.
It's like there is no limit on what you guys can do. So I don't know if this is advice or if it's just me letting you guys know, like, whatever y'all dream, whatever y'all think is possible, whatever you want to be, you guys can do it. However, nothing comes easy. Everything requires hard work. Everything requires dedication. And if you really, really want something, if you really want to go up and beyond, that's not the word. I was a Superman, up and away, up and beyond. Infinity and beyond. If you want to get up there with them, then y'all got to put y'all work in. And if you don't put the work, you're going to get the results of the amount of work you put in with anything. Treat everything like a test. Treat everything like it's, you know, like it's your last. And if you really want it, I expect I'm going to see some doctors out of here. I'm going to see some lawyers. I'm going to see some comedians, some actors, some actresses, you know. And just remember where I got started at. Yeah, and so that's something that, you know, I know we're about to wrap up, but, you know, that's something that you guys also have to take in mind. Your friends are going to change and evolve over the years. Do I have some of my friends that I was friends with in junior high school still? Absolutely. Some of them have been there, and they've just added to my friends list of people I met in high school, college, afterwards, and some of them have tailed off, you know? It's always going to be love. I don't have a problem with any of my friends that I've ever had. Most of them, if they pulled up to me today, if I hadn't seen them in 15, 20 years, it was just like, yo, what's good? Let's hang out. Let's do that. So not speaking to someone on a day-to-day basis or not seeing someone or, you know, not thinking that, because it's funny, the two kids that you said, none of y'all really hang out like that anymore. Like, Julian has his own little crew. Alex kind of has his crew. You kind of have your crew. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. So you got to be okay with things evolving. And I'm quite sure you don't got no beef with Julian and Alex. Nah, y'all just kind of hang out in different circles. And guarantee you, in 30 years, I'm going to give you a slight hint into my age. And if y'all can figure it out, that's on y'all. But, you know, I seen some of y'all math scores. Come on, Mr. Lewis. Boom, boom. No? Nah. I'm just messing with y'all, but I just had my 25th high school anniversary celebration last month. Some of the people I've seen over the last 25 years, some of them I never stopped hanging out with. Some of them I hang out with on occasion. Some I haven't seen since 1999. Damn. Hey.
It's not for your family.
I'm not even worried about what she said. I'm worried about what she was thinking.
She really tried to call you on.
She tried to play me on the low. But it's all right, though. You know, yes, I was in high school in 99. But some of them I hadn't seen since then.
You're 42.
I give it to you.
I was fast, man.
Remember, I gave y'all a clique earlier. Boy, I started school a year early.
I thought he was 48.
Well, that's fine. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
I'm not even gonna lie. I was just too busy listening to the story.
I'm good with that, Aries.
I thought he was 48.
Whatever. Get over it. Erase that from the podcast. But yeah, I picked up with some of them. Like, I still was sitting in the lunchroom with them, laughing, joking. I'm like, yo, I haven't seen you in 15, 20 years. It was like nothing. You know what I mean? And so friendships are going to come. They're going to go. They're going to change. They're going to evolve. You just got to be okay with that.
No, that's a fact. Because another good example of that, some of my closest friends to this day are people that I grew up with when we were babies in church, right? Think about it. We only see each other once a week, but those are still some of the closest people. Even some of my friends from middle school, I still talk to my friends from middle school. One of my closest friends from middle school, we were cool in middle school, friends in middle school, didn't go to the same high school, but social media was just popping off, so we was on Facebook with each other. We both get accepted to our university at Albany. I don't have a roommate. He don't got a roommate. We realized, yo, we both going to Albany, now we roommates. You feel me? We wasn't talking every single day in high school. We didn't go to the same high school. We probably say so each other every now and then. Probably didn't even see each other those 4 years, only online. But because we was cool in middle school, we had a good relationship. When college came around, we found out we going to the same college. We ended up rooming, and we got even closer from college on, to the point we talk damn near every day now. So friendships evolve. They come, they go. And as y'all was saying earlier, at different ages of your life, you're going to like different things. You're going to have different interests, which is why you're going to have different friends, different friend groups. So sometimes you got to just allow people to go to their separate ways. You go your separate way. And then, as you know, life is not really always a straight line. It's kind of like, you know, a circle. It's kind of like a squiggly one. It's not really linear. Y'all come back around and y'all best of friends in a whole different area of life that you can't even imagine. And as we're talking to y'all now, it's crazy to think that, like, you're in middle school. It's probably hard to even fathom what freshman year college is going to be like. Your body going to feel different. You're going to look different. You're going to sound different. But trust me, that's how it was for me, right? A lot of the friends I'm going to have here, I might not see them. It's different than I got Snapchat stuff, so y'all always be online. It's even more now. But it's easy to keep in touch now. But trust and believe, just because you don't talk to somebody every single day, right? That connection, that bond, that respect that we spoke about weeks ago, it'll still be there. All right, Mr. Lewis, we signing out here on the How to Survive Middle School podcast. Thank you very much for your time today.
Yo, thank y'all, man. This is dope. I kind of want to do this more often.
You feel me? It was therapeutic. But again, this is why you put the studio here for them.
Yeah, man. This is fun, man. I appreciate y'all.
No doubt, man. Thank you for making the time for us.
Thank you, guys. All right. Later.
This episode of the podcast was produced by the 8th graders in the class of 2024 at MS 935. Edited and engineered by Darnell Bent and Anthony Alvarez. Don't forget to subscribe and follow this podcast. Share it with all your friends and family looking to gain insight on what it's like to be a middle school student.